It's 10 to right, and this is Florence reporting. She comes in between Suzanne's two reports. Florence, this came over, take the stitches out of my sew hand. This Thursday, the 5th of August, 71. Florence reports on this whole Channel 2 right. This Thursday, the 5th of August, 71. Florence reports this Thursday, the 5th of August, 71. This Thursday, the 5th of August, 71, Channel 2 right. Channel 2 right and Florence reports. This Thursday, the 5th of August, 71.
Wait, sit down over here. Maybe you can see where it should have been out 2 or 3 days.
That's why it's there embedded, all. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, because if they get embedded, then you don't have to go check out the good match and get a careful one. Tracy, pull it up there. Brent?
Oh, if you like that chair, I'll load you.
Oh, that's fine.
Did you ever get a Portland pot on it?
I think.
How's your summer been?
Well, about not usual, really. We've been down at Bible school every day this week. I have to teach craft.
I just never go buttoned up, Brent.
With pins on?
You don't. He doesn't either.
No. Not around the house. I forget, you know. I change so many times. Every time I go out, I put on other clothes. When I come in, I put on indoor clothes. Chinaman. Japanese.
Well, Brent, just forgets to get on the smooth though, most of the time. How'd you cut your face?
A lot of time. If you just knew when it was, it would pay you just to sit in the shade.
Right.
Everything you touch will cut you and knock you down or something.
There are days like that and times like that.
Weeks. I've been that way for 2 or 3 weeks now.
But I think if you just get a good look.
Yes. I've got a lot of mowing to do out there. And, I went to tighten up something on the mower, rotor mower, and the power takeoff keeps turning. It won't entirely disengage.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached up there. I thought I'd just hold it.
Turn it around.
And you know, push the button and pull it on. And what it did, there was a thing up there that was sharp. It caught my hand and wedged it. And this goes up my hand. If I had just got a hold of it first with the other hand, it wouldn't have done it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the wrong side, the wedging side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just what I said to you. Some days it would just pay as hard as setting seed and not offer to
do a thing.
We got a big boy.
Well, I agree with you. I have weeks like that where everything in the kitchen goes wrong or something. You know, I burn everything for the week or freeze it or what else, you know?
Yeah.
I don't work on the tractors, but
either.
Or either everything breaks down.
Washing machine breaks down.
There
was
a time there,
yeah.
And I was convinced I was jinxed. I have days like that too.
You were.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. The sewer and the washing machine
and
the dishwasher and
the
dryer. You can imagine all
that.
You have
a wad and chewing gum in your dryer.
About one day.
Huh?
Same way.
Thank you.
I don't
turn
know.
It down. You want to go out where you can see? Can you see in here?
I can see all right. There's a light right there.
Well, the other people don't need that.
I tell you, I'm going to see whether it's embedded or not first.
Yeah.
Who did it up for you? Who sewed it up?
Let me tell you. I've done it myself.
No, I mean, who sewed it up for you?
Oh, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you said,
what happened?
I happened to get down there the next day and
after you did it?
Bandage. No, I mean this bandage. Mm-hmm. And the old bandage wasn't doing it good, so I went in and got him doing it. And what he did, he put a little piece of gauze in between them. And he had some of this tape. It's not adhesive tape. It looks like paper tape.
Yeah, I'm sure about.
And it sticks something fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And he put that right there on
your
my bare skin.
On your hair.
Yeah, and right there on my bare skin, I couldn't even open my hand.
Probably didn't want you to.
Well, hell, it's painful, Fonz. Before I got in the car, I just took them a knife and sliced those things. So, it was shameful, and about like that. Now, why he had to do that? The little girl came in there and took the old one off. Why didn't she go ahead and put another one on? She wouldn't have done anything like that.
Maybe he didn't like for him too or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did he have to give you an antibiotic for it?
Yeah. It's so dirty.
It's a dirty one.
Yeah.
Sir, see, if you were supposed to have had that out some time ago.
Tuesday.
You know that thing looks like it's macerated down in there. You had it wet?
I've also dried it.
I think it's
well, I see the knot all right.
When your toes are, you can take it off and go swimming.
Is that right?
You can come in my house and swim.
Is that the way you do?
Now, has he got a stitch in here too? It almost looks like it.
I don't know, Fine. He had several.
I know. That's why I was wondering. See the knot to that one, but that's the only one. I don't know where that one's coming from.
Biggit. He puts it in, soaks it in cold water.
Well, I notice it must have been wet sometime because it's macerated right down here. A little bit down here.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one must be, I was just looking where that's too. Well, I don't know. I hate to pull that and hurt you. This one right here looks like it's almost growing down in there. You know, underneath the skin. This
you know
kind of bit.
This one might.
Well, I could try to get it out, but I would hate to leave some of them in there and get you abscess with the string.
And that's what could happen.
Yeah. I tell you what, if I call Carl, he'd take you right on in, and he's got these high-powered glasses where he can see better. You know, if there's any extra in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an extra man in there now, you know, and he's got plenty of help. Would that be too, would you ride up there if I called him up? He'd take you right on in, he'd take you back there, he'd take him, put those binoculars thing he's got on, 2 minutes, he'd get it right out and be sure and gets it all out. I can clip that off because your thing is right there and pull it out, but I'm not sure I can get it all because there's one that's like it's embedded a teeny bit.
You don't want to get Carl.
No, listen,
okay.
He said today wasn't too bad a day, and it would not, all they have to do is take you back there, and then he's got these magnifying glasses. I know at home sometimes, you know, when they get something in their skin, I can't even see them. And you can use those glasses and see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a stitch abscess in there with that stuff if you don't get it out, and then you got another problem. It'd be better to get it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just talk to the girl, and she just take you on back there, and all she's got to do is get the forceps and the tweezers, the right kind.
They're not there on Wednesday, are they?
It's just Thursday.
Well, it's Thursday.
And he take it right out because I'd hate to lose if it was stitched differently. He's got one coming up this way, he's got one that's this way, and one that's like it's real deep in there. And I can't tell where that thing's anchored or why it's sticking out like that.
And you see, Jean wouldn't have the equipment. The nurse down here, she wouldn't get hospital, and the other one wouldn't either. They wouldn't have the light.
So I know it won't take him but just a couple of minutes if you don't mind riding that far.
Well, I tell you what.
I can take it out. I can't tell where that one is anchored. Usually you can tell because it's looped. But I don't know where one end's come loose or what. Because he's got one this way, and then he's got the knot. And it could be that, see, when you take that, clip that, one, you're supposed to be able to pull it on out. But I don't know whether it's which one of those is connected to. Can't be connected to all three, I don't think. Might be. He might have, but if he did, he must have sewn under, but it should have had a loop in it, and then back, then that would be up, over, and then under, and then up. But usually they go across like this. And then what you do is you clip the top doodad, and then these, and then you just take them and pull them straight out. But I think that'd hurt you if I pulled it out like that, because I don't know which way it's going.
You know, Granddad is not so. Ben.
Yeah.
You don't know that?
No.
Let me tell you, I could go by what he did. He told me to go by, made an appointment for me at Dr. Baber's office and with a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
The nurse is going to pull him out Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll just go on down to
Strangers.
We'll have to go in. But I waited till Wednesday because I had a full schedule on Tuesday. And they had closed. No one was there. And now today they're still not there. They're on vacation, so they may not have been there.
Let me look at it again. I sure hate to mess it up. Let me see again. Because this top has to be cut off right there.
And you got nothing to cut with?
Not just right, I haven't. Mm-mm. It's connected to that one. That may be just an end in there. It looks like it's stuck down in there. Then you've got one that's just sitting there, right there. It's not too adequate.
He put several in there.
That's what I say. I think there's more than one, and that's from the angles that they're going. But
you shouldn't wait.
I tell you, that's a spot. You kind of want to be careful right in
here. I didn't mean to wait this long.
Yeah, I tell you what, you need to be careful with places right in creases anyway, because if you you know, which we use them all the time. It's not like down here. And I'll arrange it so you don't have to wait at all if you'll go.
And it got that nerve a little bit, and it did in this thing here. And of course it came back. But I hit it on that last night, and it did in the end of this thing.
Well, it
nerves
don't go back too fast. Not really. But say, like if I said, this is what I do, just set a time for you, like 2 o'clock. What time? 12:30 now or 1:30? 1 o'clock? When you want to go?
Yeah.
Let's make it 1:30.
I tell you, I was.
I could go ahead and try that, but I sure would hate to leave a piece of a stitch down there, and you got a stitch abscess from it, and I was cause of it.
Yeah. What'd be the best time for you? Just any.
You tell me the time, and what I'll do is tell her when he's coming in. And then she can go ahead and set it up. See, all she has to do, you know, put the, she know the sharp. Yeah. But she'll do is I can tell her what to put in. She'll need a sharp and a forceps, and to put his glasses out, and that's all he'll need. And then when he comes in, you have to do is just pick him up because she might.
About a little later than that?
Yeah.
Later than that? Uh-huh. What time?
Well, I tell you, I was going to work with Suzanne a little while. She just got out here.
Okay.
And how long will they be there?
It's about 5:30. Oh, 5:30. The girls aren't there past 5.
Yeah. Well, at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Yeah. Depends on Colin.
Yeah.
Or
4:30? Yeah, depends on him, yeah.
Just depends on him.
Okay.
Yeah. But I kind of hate for Carl to get...
No, listen, there's no point. Listen, it's just like I was watching that man down there washing that church down there in Micanopy Macintosh a few minutes ago. He has one little old machine and these two containers. He's up there just making that thing spotless because he's got what it takes.
Yeah.
And I can wash in that crazy house up there. I don't have one of those jets and I don't have the solution.
I've got
and
it.
I can wash and this dirt don't come off. And
I've
if the art comes off halfway.
I've got the solution and also the jet.
You do?
Yes, sir.
You're just the man I need. I'm
but
to
I,
get myself.
I haven't used it since the summer I got it. It'll take off these dirt daubers.
That it does?
And
really?
Wash the paint.
That's what I say. That man down there, we you know, parked by the church and watched him.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Dowser G. Brent said that looks just like they're painting that place.
Yeah.
Because it just... You know, must have mildew or something. All over. He's just going just like this. I can go up there and shoot clear water on those shutters, and then do a thing. I have to go back and take a brush or something and brush them. And that's like me getting this out. I halfway do it because I don't have what it takes. And that man does it in a fraction of the time I can do it because he's got what it takes. And that's like Carl's got what it takes. It'd take him a couple minutes, and be no trouble. And I might pull it out and still you have trouble. Isn't that right, Faith?
Well, you got.
It's just a matter if you don't mind just riding to town and back.
Well, I have to. I don't have any choice now.
I think being where that is in there, I think I'd let somebody take that thing out. That's not like just a straight feature. Yeah, it's in a fold.
Yeah.
That's kind of like in the corner of your mouth or someplace like that where it bends. It's a little trickier than it is. And just because most straight sutures, not much problem. You just clip that thing and clip it in the middle and then you just...
Yeah. You see what happened? Faye went down there, and when she got a wasp, and the nurse took care of her, and so she thought, well, you can go down there too.
To Jean
Latin.
Yeah.
Well, Jean probably could if she was in.
She's on vacation.
She's on vacation.
Yeah.
She's got all the tweezers and stuff.
Yeah. And that's what.
So we just thought, you know, we wouldn't bother anybody.
Tuesday, we I was working somehow, and yesterday couldn't get in.
So
you ought to stay away from that heavy work with that thing anyway, because it looks to me like it's just not quite healed, even down there in that crease to me. And you could still get, you know. You know, sometimes something's not healed real good, and then you hit it or something, it'll pop it back open.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in the first place, it's going to have trouble healing because it's a jagged wound. And you can take a slice like on your incision, and it heals pretty good because the edges go together smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's jagged like that, they don't heal real fast. And then if you happen to hit it, sometime they'll pop it back open.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be just as well not canceling that equipment just for a little while.
I'm done tampering with it.
Yeah, so you get it kind
he,
of healed
he,
up.
He puts it in cold water, though.
Well, sometimes it sort of aches.
Mm-hmm.
And that cold water is your recipe. I just use cold water ever since. You hurt yourself and put cold water and don't get sore.
But it takes pain away, or either warm soaks do.
That's what happens, yes.
Warm soaks do sometimes too. The skin down there is just a little macerated, like you need to keep it a little drier.
Suzanne's using some of the things we've found out, and she's just fascinated with what she sees. She can see. She can see so much better. And it's just like living in a different world now since we got into Ratliff and some of that other material. It makes so much more of it. And I kind of hate to it takes what I call that critical superstructure. It takes that now, but at this age, but I kind of hate just to do the literature, the reading anymore. it ought to be combined with actual seeing.
Mean a lot more.
Yeah. And these things we see, say now, like Miss Daisy was over here yesterday, and we talked a while, and the talk. Seemed like she had no vigor. She can't stand sickness. Health is all, she just lived in a world of health, you see. One time, she said one of the cutest things. She said, back there, it's different. But up here, oh, she says there's much sickness and dying going on.
Mm-hmm.
But back in that world, you see, she used to live in. It wasn't. Isn't that marvelous?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's marvelous.
I see.
And, of course, it was just as much as now more, but she wasn't in on it. And,
well, plus the fact you don't have a tendency to remember as you get older things that are unpleasant, they say.
Well, my experience doesn't bear that out. This thing, Florence, I listened to it again, and I could see. And you see on the tape, I can see when I can't see, can't hear. And you see. I see things that no one else has ever seen about these people. No one has seen those things in Miss Daisy that I've seen them.
Probably I agree with that because
they
they're around it all the time and they don't have much inquiry. They just accept it. Probably.
And you hear now. I know this fella Etheridge. He's a bright, brilliant fella. Goldman Etheridge. I talked to him several times, and he's a great talker, and he just knows everybody from the sheriff to the up and down, and just the gabs with them. And in the I don't know when it was the end of the 70s, maybe a little later. he had a job of liquidating some of Wallace's, Henry Wallace's farm loans. You see, they were trying to salvage the small farmers then, but so many of them couldn't be salvaged. And when they just lost out entirely, then they liquidated it. And I thought, well, sir, I lived in that period. I saw the things going on, but I wasn't, I didn't know enough about it to see. I thought, well, sir, I've just hit the right fella. He can just tell me everything that I saw then and didn't understand. He couldn't tell me a thing. He had liquidated all these people, but he had not seen them.
Mm-hmm.
He'd seen some of their practices. I don't think he had ever looked at any of those little tenant farmers. And I think actually that's what happened so far. I learned that a year or so ago out here when we were just sort of beginning on this countryside, and Sims, boy, you know, was over here helping Faye with the horses. Well, I don't understand. We first looked at their reactions. For one thing, Johnny had to do it at his time. And the money wasn't an important thing. And you couldn't lay out the work for him. I thought, well, sir, Mr. Rutledge down here has had a lot of experience. Now, all at once I realized that Mr. Rutland didn't know any more about Johnny Sims in the countryside than I did.
Probably less.
His mind works in terms of those abstractions. They're honest fellows, they're nice people. They're
Mrs. Rutland might have.
Well.
She seems to be more in tune.
Yeah.
Than he does, really. Not too much.
That they just don't see. They just don't see. So you expect one of those preachers over at Micanopy. I expected him. He'd done some carpenter work one thing or another. Don't you know the one that was hoarse all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I expected him to make a little contact with the country. He made none whatever. None whatever. It was all talk. He didn't see a thing. Just didn't see. And not long ago, the county agent, old county agent, retired and is working for the tractor people there in Ocala. And I wanted more hay. And I was down there one day, and he said, "Look down here. They didn't have one except old Rusty's things rusted out." And he called me, said he had one himself. And I thought to myself, "Well, sir." Whatever he tells me, I can depend on. He's an old county agent. He brought that thing up here, down here, up here. It wouldn't even
move.
It wouldn't even mow the yard, much less a field. The plates were wore out. He let it set out until the blade had rusted clear out.
Oh my God.
And if I had used, and he wanted $200 and a quarter for it, it was enough for a pretty good mower.
Oh, do you need a mower? Carl's got one. He's just going to sell it. Robert doesn't buy it.
No, I don't need any. And, Florence, it, I got to thinking about him. It was kind of easy. I used to think they belonged to the countryside. They didn't belong to the countryside. They just saw the practices.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask him about Cookie or take this boy that sold this Guthrie, all that hay equipment, young fellow up there in Gainesville, four tractor plates, I bet he'd been trying to find him. He left us there. A boy named Patty. They bought all that stuff from him. $7,000 for it. And I thought, well, sir, he knows how to deal with these people, but he doesn't. I'm certain of that. He just has that sort of casual manner, and he's learned to keep his mouth shut and let them do this talking and let them sell themselves. He learned that much. You don't take much. And I was at the university. Carl Opp came out here one night. He and Jackie. And you know, Carl's brilliant. Yeah, he can tell you about how to bond this city, and he can tell you anything. And he can tell you what they're doing. He came out here, we were going to talk about Phil Patterson. That's some little time after Phil died. They had lived there in that same compound where Phil was working when Jimmy was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy'd run away, and Jackie'd catch him and go and thrash him, and Phil would take him out there and wouldn't let him. You see, they're very close. I had used my categories on Phil. And I had proved one thing right after another. Didn't know anything about him.
They didn't. That was surprising.
They didn't know anything about him. And all those people from the countryside who work up there on the campus, and all those learned people up there, have no idea whatsoever. You see, Cookie works up there now, and Cookie's been coming out here for 2 or 3 years, and every time he comes, I make a tape about it. And I study it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I'm put out with him. But the tapes have kept me, enabled me to keep going with him. And he's done all sorts of things. And I've seen him in all sorts of lights. He worked for Bradington up there. JJ is a nice fellow. He's had experience with the mechanics and all like that. And he don't know anything about. Now that's what I found out from these, from this Ratliff thing, and from working with Miss Rawlings and them.
Mm-hmm.
Now most of that's happened since you were up there. A good part of it has happened since you were up there.
I want to get in on the Faulkner. I keep it in the car so that, you know, like if I have to wait on somebody, I read a bit. You know, I figure maybe I'm rereading parts. So that I hope to get on some of that this fall.
But it's more practical. It's more on the laboratory. It's more on the practical basis now. I feel now like I could set it up if I wanted to, you know, make an institution of it. I don't want to. I never will do that. But I could. I mean, it's far enough along I could do that now. And people could observe what I've done and apply it in other fields, but I'm not going to do that either. But we've gone a long ways on that. And the thing of it is, it's in the hamlet. Faulkner applies it in the hamlet, but no one who reads the hamlet ever knows that. I've never heard anyone comment on
it. I can read it in fiction, but that's right.
They don't see it.
I mostly pay attention to the characters in them or anything. A lot of them are like people I've known. You know, one here or there.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever known a Mr. Varner, though. Not really. Not anybody quite that bitter.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met one of those. I've seen a lot of films. Roundabout.
And Florence has a perfect sewing machine, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Ratliff,
yeah.
Around the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Roundabout.
Everybody yells with Florence,
yeah.
First thing.
Yeah.
No doors.
But with all that sewing machine she has and all that background she has, she brought back those most disreputable reports from Mr. Thrasher. And I have never heard one yet from him or about him that would stand up. It simply is shoddy material so far. If it's there, I've never heard anyone get it out.
You tried to get some more information on
him? Oh, no. I quit long ago.
On him?
No, when I see it's all over, I quit. I don't hang on forever.
Yeah.
I
haven't
try.
Been back out there too. I go by and say hello to
him. I try. You know, I don't want to just slam the door.
I still get around and about down here. A little.
I see you do.
Yeah, I go up to the red and white and go back and talk to them back at the meat counter.
Well, she's not a native.
No, but she fits in. Not a native, but she's more Micanopy than a lot of Micanopy people. In lots of ways. She watches people pretty good. She's not just a gossip. She's got a good, kind of try to say philosophy. But she's on top of things. And you don't hear her poor mouth very much. And she's, her children don't have her spirit. At all. Just zero compared to her. Absolutely don't have it. Not any of them, isn't that the same?
Mm-hmm.
Her husband doesn't have it too much. But her daughter-in-law has a lot of it. They're similar.
Oh, is that her daughter-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
Want to ride the bus?
Mm-hmm.
That's her daughter-in-law?
That's her daughter-in-law. She was going way back. You know, Birch's wife. That's her daughter. And when she was real young, she married Mr. Hester, old man Hester. And old man Hester's first wife, I think, was Iris McCrae's sister or so, but they're kind of related. And she was kind of high class type woman, you know. And Mr. and Mrs. Hester had two or three kids. One teaches phys ed at University of Florida. I don't know where Donnie is right now. And then that Miss Hester died. And then the old man Hester, quite old, married young Miss Birch.
Oh.
And the rest of them kind of disowned her because they thought she's kind of trashy.
Oh.
And she had a couple of girls. And this is one of them. Goodbye, Mr. Hester.
Yeah.
And so she's got that good bloodline in there somewhere. But evidently, this young woman and the old man Hester were quite happy. And then he died, and it was some time before she married Birch.
Mm-hmm.
Which hasn't been quite as good, I don't think. Mm. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And the Hesters used to live in that house Miss Fidel bought down in Evanston.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That old gray house.
Oh, I mean, that was a
that's
long
the old
time
Hester
ago. 30 something years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Hester was kind of a, you know, pretty learned man in ways compared to the wife he took. But she's real down to earth, practical, very forward and straight. I mean, she's really going to say exactly what she's got on her mind. And she, you know, likes. Kind of fisherwoman type in lots of ways, but this young Hester, the one that married the Myers boy, has a little culture about her, you know, that carries her and puts her in a different category than her sister. Sister doesn't have it either. Isn't that something?
Now how's that?
She has a sister,
yeah.
But her sister doesn't have. This girl has a little grace or something.
Oh,
about
I see.
Her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
A little prince, princessness,
that's
like you call princess-like, that has a little extra something that a lot of people don't have, and her sister doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, you know, she got this from old man Hester, I don't know. but she has this good spirit that the mother-in-law has, and they evidently are very compatible. They're happy as locks together.
I know.
Well, now that's nice, isn't it? Well, what do you know? So that's what keeps it going.
And it's so good it keeps that place going.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, her name.
Peggy, that's right.
Yeah. Well, now, that would be a team, wouldn't it, if you could talk to them?
They talk, too.
Yeah.
Those two, but Miss Myers, she's pretty observant, because I've talked to her lots of times, and she's not critical. She doesn't, to me, gossipily criticize people that come in there. What she says are commentaries, which I appreciate.
Such as?
Well, like, for instance, one time there was one that came in there. She's understanding, for instance. And it was a girl that I knew, one of the Graham girls, that had an aneurysm. And every time I go in there, that girl would catch me, and then she'd pour out her troubles to me. And Miss Myers wouldn't open her mouth. She'd say, I didn't listen to all of it. But she'd be very generous to this girl. Some would have criticized her as being too worried about herself, which country people have a tendency to do. But she had a good deal of compassion for this girl, which I don't really see a lot among a lot of country folks.
And she just listened and said things.
Didn't say things. But real, every time I go in, you know, lots of times I try to go through there, and this evidently she knew me from a long time ago, but it was because I would listen to her, I guess, and she had a lot of fears, but she would just stand there and just express to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she evidently didn't have a listener anywhere.
Yeah.
It was really too bad. She died, too. She was only 40.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of your categories would be sort of psychological, wouldn't they?
Some of them would be.
Yes. And the only trouble with them is that people make too much of them. And,
yeah,
and wouldn't adapt them enough. Like her fears and all that.
Well, she had this aneurysm, and she had all these sounds in her head. That somebody, and she'd be afraid to say this to some country people because they'd say she's going nuts. When actually it was physiological. She probably had bruise up there, you know, little blood vessels that were taken care of where she had the aneurysm that were making noises in her head. She was a very sick woman. And yet she was afraid to say this to anybody, probably, because they wouldn't understand. You just think she's going off for a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they think a lot of times.
Yeah.
But Miss Myers had a lot more compassion for her than a lot of other people did. And she wouldn't say anything to her particularly, except to also listen, which is one of the best things you can do for people that are as upset as that woman was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to get in touch with Louise Graham, but see, I didn't see, of course, my effort was limited, and I could go just so far. And she was just full of country music and the gospel sings and things like that. And the Weight Watchers, she had something going all the time. So I didn't really have a chance to get in touch with her. But what little I did see of her, I didn't see enough discrimination in her that I could ever work with her in Louise Graham.
Quite a biased person. I told you this before you went to work with her.
Yeah.
You know, she's got her own world, and it's got pretty much what she comes in contact with, got to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh, she's not real flexible.
Well, I'm willing to go along with her, you see. But I have found that I can't work with anyone who doesn't have a pretty, like Phil, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Phil and couldn't make them. Mabel didn't have much sense. And Phil was like Mark Twain. There's no limit to his perception.
That was so strange because he thought it was rehearsed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, do you ever go back into Red and White and the meat counter, just sit down on that stool and
you
talk
see,
to her?
I don't do that very well, Florence. I have to, you see how slow I kind of work in with people.
Well, have you ever watched her?
No, I've never had an occasion to, you see.
Watch her.
I don't have an opportunity.
Go and in and just look at groceries on the shelf sometimes.
Well, let me tell you, Florence, at my stage...
Can't do it?
No, I can't do it. And they also think of me as a professor. It's very, very difficult.
That's why I say if you're just looking at the groceries or something, just listen to how she handles the people that come in there. She's like an entrepreneur that handles all these country folks.
Yes, I don't have it. I'm not neutral enough to do it.
She's always got that hearty laugh.
Yes.
I like to go in there just because of that.
I would too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
but I haven't been able to do it. See, I'm not neutral enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to. Now, you see, if, see, like Lois, you talk to Lois, and then I can go down and talk to Lois. You talk to her, and then I could go and talk to her. But somehow, you see, it's got to be, I can't do it myself.
Okay.
But I don't want to.
That's why I think she's really got a feel for those people up there that the people don't have for one another.
Now, Suzanne doesn't need any introduction.
Yeah.
I mean, she has that open manner, and she listens so well and understands. She's so perceptive. You know, she could go talk to her like she'd never known her all life.
Maybe she could report back to you.
Yeah, she could do that. Yeah, she could do that.
She's good at it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Might be a good one to report on.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, but she's one of the only ones that seems to have a consistently good spirit in that whole town to me.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's always the same. I've never seen her down.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always got pretty good words.
My friend Mac Weaver is like that.
And I really like to go around people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gonna have a lift, and she gives. I don't think the people realize that she does this either, but she does. That's where it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
But you know that they let somebody else take that store over. For a while, he was somber, and you go in there, and it was just like dead. You know.
Yeah.
When she came back, it was her personality that brought that store back to life. It wasn't the goods they put back in it at all. It's her.
Same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was now that boy that was in there, his daddy, he's one of the original cowhands. He works for Mr. Huff now. And when he first came, he worked for old man Eddards. And Willie Chitty told me one run in, he was there and related it, that this he's had a heart attack too. What's his name down there? He lives out there towards Willie now, towards Flemington. And that was a vigorous world. And his boy, and he's a cattleman, and his boy was the one who had that for a while, but he couldn't make it move.
Yeah. He didn't have contact, I guess, because he didn't have contact with people.
Oh, he didn't have anything.
No, it was just like walking into nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the next time you go in, just kind of take a look, though.
I like to see
that.
Yeah. Mr. Denny's got a good manner down there at the meat house. Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But he's kind of quiet, but he's pretty much always...
being the same. I don't find him very interesting, but
Once in a while, if you get him talking to you, he will. But he's usually, you have to find him by himself.
Yeah.
You have to go in there when there's no one there. He's usually too busy to talk to you. But I've been in there with him by himself. He's talked to, he's from up north, you know, he talked to you a little bit. But I can't go over and talk to Miss Johnson sometimes. I've tried to come down and visit a little bit around. I get about one every couple of weeks, it seems. Tuck Mac's doing fine.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The man would still be surviving.
Sits on his porch in his pajamas so that somebody can't go by there and get him to go out and show him the hammock, I guess.
Well, he's walking around a little bit. I think Brent's most enthralled with that potty chair he has.
Yeah.
Everybody, every time he saw this hall tree the other day, had a lift up seat like they used to have. He said, Mama, it looks just like Tuck Mac's potty chair on the fancy. And it does, you know. Never think about that, but they do. What'd they put in the bottom of those hall trees?
Oh, goodness, lots of things. Old coats and raincoats and rags.
Is that what they did? Because they do. They lift up just like those old potty chairs. Well, my good friend Miss Pierce is moving to Jacksonville.
Oh, that's too bad.
I hate that.
Some reason?
Well, yes. A lot of the people around her have sold to hippie, really hippie, you know. And the Negro situation down there is getting tighter and tighter down below her. And she lives by herself. And the tenant situation, you know, I think I told you that time about that one that claimed he didn't drink. And after he left, she found those 36 whiskey bottles all stuffed behind the stove and in the oven and in the broiler. You know, and a few things like that. And it's just about to get too much for her. She doesn't quite take all that anymore. She's 76. It's getting to be too much.
Yeah, she needs a buffer, maybe.
She's going to the woods up in Dinsmore, which is right out of Jacksonville. I took her up about 2 weeks ago. She has a trailer out there in her nephew's yard. And it's out from town. And, you know, he has a farm. Oh, he had an okra patch and cucumbers and tomatoes. He's a good old country fella. Boy, talking about somebody rigid. I'm talking about a redneck Richard. Now that's him, though.
Oh,
I mean to tell you, mind you, for Banny Rooster, not quite like Jackson over there, but he's got this florid complexion and this red tuft of hair, you know. And he's good-hearted as he can be. He'd do anything in the world for you, but he can sure be stubborn.
Yeah.
I think though, if I asked him to do something, he'd do anything in the world for me. But I think if he didn't take a hankering to you, he wouldn't do anything. He likes me all right. I put some, he gave me a bunch of cucumbers, so Carl and I filled up a bunch of pickles this year. Yeah, got us going back to canning again. But I'm going to miss her. I really will. She's one I want a guy to talk with.
Well, you figured.
But I've never gotten her myself, but she remembers like yesterday, like Miss Lois does.
You thought for a while she might just come out there and live with you.
Well, she was going to if we came out here to the woods. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't like town that well.
Mm-hmm.
She's always wanted to get out. So she's going to get out. But She was one of the ones I wanted him to meet. She's such an unusual person. I don't know how she remembers all the things she does.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't. She was raised, born in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's lived in that house there since she was a little girl. Kanapaha, she's taking care of foster children. And she remembers old Paula Presto over here on the Lake Warburg, and I used to bring her beef, the stories about him bringing her beef, and the old stories about the cow down the back pasture, just like it was yesterday. Only her stories are really more country than Miss Dixon's. She remembers, she lived.
Miss Dixon's aren't country at all.
Aren't country. Hers are country. Oddly enough to have lived in town, but she's met so many people and known so many people. She doesn't talk about them too much, so much. She does just events in the past. She claims to really know people. She said she served the public for many years. She's been sewing since she was 18.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And like I, she, sometimes some women are just great on her, and she doesn't know what it is about them that disturbs her. But they will. They'll disturb her. And some one time, there was one of them, I could have told her. Really. She said, this woman came in here, and she had me make so-and-so. And she said, her name is such-and-such, and I can't stand her. And I said, and she's got such-and-such color hair, you know, and described her. And she said, yeah, how did you know? And I, it was because this is the most unreal person that ever walked. She's just completely unreal. And Miss Pierce doesn't realize that it's a falseness that was disturbing her. She just reacts. Even at this age, at 76, she just reacts. And sometimes these people just almost make her, you can just see her vibrate and they make her so nervous. So it's fun to kind of watch her, though. And then yet this one family brought this gown to her recently to make a wedding gown. And they just brought the fabric and she drew it. Now she's 76. This material was $26 a yard she's cutting into. Lace without any pattern. And she beaded the whole neck of that thing and all that lace around the front. Solid beaded the cuffs on that. Made that train. And took the lace medallions and covered all that veil to 76. All that handwork. Isn't that something? To have that kind of patience.
And she doesn't push it until you get tired.
She just sews constantly. But I just, I'm amazed. She, you know,
she
you
can
never,
sew and talk?
Sew and talk. In fact, she doesn't even, she beads and she doesn't even look at it. She just, I'll stick those, that needle right through those little old teeny pearls. Stick them in there. Now they're just perfect.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
There's a category for you. Mr. Weaver was cutting my hair once and telling me how he cut my hair. And at the same time, he was talking about a preacher that used to be in Lincolnopi, who had long red hair, and nobody could cut it until he showed them how. He's cutting that preacher's hair all over again, and cutting my hair. And enjoying both of them.
You know what's so funny is, I met the lady's mother's bride on this dress, and, she says, I didn't intend for her to do all those pearls, not to that extent. And I, so later on I said, Miss Pierce, why'd you do all those pearls on that dress? She said, I just got started and I couldn't stop. And that's her masterpiece. She said it's the most beautiful thing she's ever done in her life.
Yeah.
At 76.
Yeah.
I think that's really something, because most people just kind of give up back that time, and yet she was going to produce the most beautiful thing she had ever done. And all that organza that she did, and she stitches it all under, and you can't see any of it.
Yeah.
All, you know, the hand, which nobody would ever do now. But she got, she's real still kind of foxy, because this lady sent this other seamstress over to look at this dress, because she thought it was so magnificent. And some long years ago, Miss Pierce bought her sewing machine. This other seamstress bought a sewing machine. And the other seamstress couldn't make the machine work. And Miss Pierce was bragging, she's a bragger, that she just had a book and she sat down and made hers work. And she can make those seams look like they were rolled and hemmed on that organza, which is hard to do. And she can do it on the machine. She's got a way of stitching it and clipping it and restitching, you know. So when this other seamstress came over to look at it, she says, my, look at the work on those seams. All turned and stitched. This is 15 years later. And Miss Pierce says, I did on my machine just like that one you had. You know, she still, but she tickles me. She got the biggest charge out of that, that she worked her machine
well,
and that other thing just couldn't work it.
One of the first things we found out here when I started taping was that boost.
She's got it.
It's not bragging. it's a way of looking at the world, and it's also a means of reporting. Now, Mr. Weaver was telling about breaking corn, and this fella said he'd put his boy up against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Weaver said he'd take him on, and there the two of them broke on, and he apologized. He said he didn't really mean to be bragging, and he wasn't the one. And what that did was enable him to go in and break corn and show us how to do it without being a process.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know that. It's, now, see, Daddy used to have that same thing. And he didn't hardly do anything, you might say, that somebody else hadn't failed at.
That's kind of the way Miss Pierce is. She, you know, it tickles me to death sometimes. She says, "You know, I'm not bragging, Florence, because I'm not. Don't do things like that."
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like she
yeah.
said,
mm-hmm. yeah.
just tickles me. And she does. She knows that it might sound that way.
No, I don't try to understand it. You see, I just see what I just see it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't take it as bragging, and I take it as just a part of the countryside. And it's I remember I told you that. Don't you know Cecil Pardee told me one time, I had run myself down. He says, "You sure don't think very well of yourself, do you?"
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
And let me tell you, he put in Mr. Patterson's well over there. And Mr. Patterson has to have the best of everything. And Cecil flubbed up. And he did some other things over there. He flubbed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that I knew Mr. Patterson. And one time when I saw him, he says, "Well, I guess I just is, looks like I don't know enough to stay in the well business." And he meant it. And you know, it just sounded sickly. It just didn't sound right.
Uh-huh. From him.
From
huh?
him.
No.
Or the countryside.
Yeah.
And I wondered if my running myself down
sounded like that.
Made them feel so.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it did.
Shabby.
Mm-hmm. I bet it did.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard this woman run herself down, and I've often wondered if that's what keeps her going.
Sure it does. Sure it is.
The fact that she can make better jelly or better this and that than anybody else, and it just kind of tickles me. I go along with the game all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd have to have this, that there's a lot of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All with this, she just, to her, there is. There's just a lot
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like she's a young person, and she's going to go up there, and she's going to sew, and
yeah.
she's going to do all these things. And you know, she's a diabetic. She had a stroke when she was 37, and she was paralyzed on one side. And she used to sit at the sewing machine to try to make herself sew, and her arm fell off. She couldn't even get it back till somebody mm-hmm. came home and got her. And she put that back up there with the edge of her sleeve sometime with the other arm, and she'd sit there, and she rehabilitated herself.
Hmm.
That is.
That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
yeah. And she and
now.
She's proud of the fact that she brought herself back.
Is your neighbor over here just falling apart with those migraines?
Who's that? Judy?
No.
Which one?
The Miss